Hello, welcome to Big Head Mode. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. This is a podcast-only version, which, if you're listening to this now, it's pretty bloody obvious, because you're listening to it on a podcast. But what it means for us is we're not going to have any music, we're not going to have anything breaking up the talk. It's just nothing but non-stop, undiluted bullshit.
And it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. That voice is Bardia McKinnon. Bardia, welcome.
It's good to be here on a Saturday.
Yeah. Now, like, so we couldn't, due to reasons, we couldn't do a live show, but we had to do a show this weekend because we haven't really done a show. We did a little bit of Witcher talk, but, like, I think by that stage, last time we did a show,
we hadn't played
enough. I'd played, like, a few hours.
Yeah.
Carlo's copy hadn't arrived.
You say a few hours. Like, in terms of this game, a few hours is, like, you played about 10 hours.
I mean, I felt like a lot at the time. Yeah, I felt like, oh, I played 5 hours. Mm. And it was the same 5 hours that I'd played in demo. So I was like, you know, that's enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
Now,
oh,
I mean, if my game is to be believed, I've played 245 hours.
You haven't, mate. You haven't played that much.
I know. Look, logic tells me that it's probably standby mode on the Xbox.
Almost certainly.
Being counted?
Yeah. Because that's 10
full
days.
How can I really know? Because my point is that I couldn't tell. With this game, yeah. I couldn't tell. I read that and I went, well, maybe I have.
Oh my God, have I? What have I been doing with my life?
Because
it's great. It's
really...
I've
played so much of it. I finished all the Witcher. There are no more Witcher. There's one Witcher contract I have.
I've only done
literally one, and that's only because that's the one you need to be like level 36 or something.
See, I've only
which
done...
Which actually, now that I think about it, I am that level now, so...
Yeah, it's still not going to be easy.
Yeah.
I'm a fair way behind you. I picked mine up a week later.
Yeah.
And I've been playing it every chance I get.
But it's harder for you, because you, like a chump, like a bloody idiot, have donated your TV to be the communal TV in your house.
That's right, so I can
play it. You've got to rely on the whims of your flatmates to play games.
Yes, which
Whereas
means...
you'd be like me, an adult... and have your own TV in your own room, you can go for your bloody life, mate. You can do whatever
you're
you want.
Yeah, you're an adult. I'm going to go to my room and watch TV. You're a real adult.
That's not true. Sometimes I watch Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, you're such a boring loser. I usually play it at night, and I play into the wee hours of the morning when I get back from work.
Into the wee hours of the...
That's right. It's on Xbox, man. That's not a pun.
When is it coming to the Wii?
I don't know, not even
the Wii U, just the Wii.
I want some waggle controls on the Wii and the Witcher.
You need two Wii remotes for each, one for each sword.
Oh my God, that'd be badass.
No, this is what developers think. Someone in Nintendo goes, that's how it starts. Hey, people would really like it if we had multiple controls so they could wiggle multiple weapons.
Did you ever buy the Sony Move?
No.
Yeah, see, I bought two of those.
You bought two Sony Moves?
Yeah, I got two of the
ones
baubles.
That, let's be honest, look like sex toys.
Certainly. Yeah, I got two of those, and I've never used it. Like, that's like $80.
Like your sex toys.
Like my... Well, so I've been playing Witcher every chance I get. I've only done maybe one contract, because it was the first one that I found. Well, like, it was a level 8. I think I'm level 8 now. But it was a level 8 contract, so I did it at level 7, and that was, like, the first one I could do. All the rest of the missions that I were getting were, like, you know, level 23 or level 34. I'm in no position to be doing these. But it's a big
it's
game.
It's weird, that level scaling thing, because I noticed that, you know, it gives you recommended level, but quite often it goes green earlier than you expect it to.
Like, four levels or whatever beforehand. Yeah. But it's, like, it's... It's the game's very difficult. I'm playing it on the second hardest difficulty.
Yeah, see, I'm playing on the one below you.
Below that.
You're playing on, it's Blood and Bones?
Blood and Bones, yeah.
Or Swords and Bones?
Something like that. I think
Blood and Swords. Swords.
I think it's that one. Oh, God, I don't know. No, isn't that a George R. R. Martin novel?
Song of Bloody Bones and Swords and Stuff.
And it's winter or something. Yeah, so it's really hard. There are these little creatures that hang out near rivers. They're like the river gang.
Drowners.
No, they're the river gang.
old man Drowner. Here come the Drowner boys.
Keep walking.
Yeah, anyway. Girl, what's going on here, buddy?
We got a problem? No,
this
man,
this is our turf. You come by the water, you got to mess with the Drowners.
Yeah, so I'm walking up to those hooligans, and they travel in packs, right?
Yeah.
Like teams.
And often... recognizable by their leather jackets and slick back hair.
And their cigarettes, and they're calling me a square. Every time I jump into a pack of those, they're fairly easy to kill one-on-one. They get destroyed.
They were the first enemy when what I really like about those enemies is because the first enemy I think you fight is ghouls?
Mm, sure.
And then maybe wolves, probably the next encounter. And they feel like ghouls and wolves are pretty straightforward. They just run at you and attack you, and you sort of dodge and attack. Whereas drowners, when they hit you, it stuns you. Like, if you make physical contact, and that was when I first realized that you have to, like, you've really got to change your fighting style a little bit when fighting them. And then
amazing.
Every enemy from then on, it's like there's a different way you have to fight.
And they all have different tells. And it's amazing once you learn, like for the drowners, once you learn the their attack patterns and how far they attack and how far back you have to be to avoid them. It's like every time they go to swing, you press B to dodge instead of roll. And then you press A to roll. Because you have to do those two things because they first swipe and then they lunge. It's like it's a whole... And that's just one enemy. But my point was, every time I come in, like, before any enemy encounter, be it in the wild or in an actual mission, I have to save because there's a very real chance that I could die. So I don't actually feel, at this stage in the game, like a badass. You know, my Geralt feels like a bit of a bitch. Like, he's not, like...
Although I've heard, like, that's good, though, because I mean, playing it on the lower difficulty, it was still challenging in the beginning, but you hit this point and you're just stronger than everything.
Mm. Yeah,
like, I haven't felt challenged in a while, and
yeah, I don't want that.
Apparently, that's what's good about that difficulty that you're doing is that it does make it. You know, you do start feeling more powerful, but it never loses that impact of like I've got to fight. I've got to use potions. I've still got to think about the best advantage I have to fight certain bosses.
That's the other thing. Like before, it's not as easy. I mean, on my difficulty, to just come into a battle and be like, "Oh, I'll just use my sword and kill him." It'd be great. You got to like use your magic. Yeah, you got to use your sword. You got to use your oils. You got to oil up your sword, lubricate that thing.
See, that's not
lubricate that thing.
It's not. Go on.
Take some potions. Isn't that how it does it? Doesn't you oil up your sword?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and I love that stuff. And that's the one thing I don't like about my difficulty is you do get really powerful. Like, and because I'm doing all the side missions, like you invest in all the things you get. A bunch of those places of power, so you get all those skill points, you get, you know, a fully upgraded armor, and you're just like a boss. Combine that with a few potions and it's like you're unstoppable. The one good thing is that you do still take damage. Pretty easily.
This game is huge. Like it's so huge but it's not it's not Watch Dogs big in that it's huge and they're not populated with anything. It feels like
the opposite. It's the most full game I think I've played in terms of what's...
I'll tell you what, like, before I started playing it, I mean, initially when I was playing in the first couple of hours, I'm like, oh, this feels very Skyrim-y. Like, the exploration and the missions and the very loose storyline, it feels very Skyrim-y. And then the more I started playing, I'm like, no, it's the world actually, to me, feels a lot richer than Skyrim did.
To me, it feels like Red Dead Redemption.
A really good example, yeah.
Much more dense. I mean, totally. Red Dead Redemption had that great feeling of, like, this place is populated when you're in the towns, but then when you got out into the wilderness, it kind of could get very sparse and empty. And this feels like that, but it just feels like more... Like, there's more little settlements full of things and full of life, and in between the settlements, there's that whole sort of monster ecosystem and caves and...
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten to the point where if I look on the map and I see what looks like a house from top down, I'll deliberately go past it, because it's like, that house could have... There could be loot in it. There could be people living in it. There could be a little mission, a little thing to discover.
And you'll see them off in the middle of nowhere. Like, there'll be nothing around, and you'll see this little red little hut looking thing.
Yeah.
And you'll go down and there'll be something. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like, why is it? And you go, this is, seems to be on the top of a mountain or something.
There's
why
no
is
there
a
there?
House? Yeah. I might go check it out.
And it's cool because even in the places where there aren't any structures or any people or anything like that, the environment's really nice and it's always changing and it's always hazardous and it's just really, it seems really dense, everything. Even though there may not be a lot of people doing their own stuff, like, I don't know, GTA or something, where there's a lot of people doing their own thing. It's very, it feels like a real place.
Yeah.
My one question.
Yeah.
Everyone's very white. Like, that's the only race in the entire game.
Well, I mean, you've got to remember, though, that you're only in, like, a very small part of this overall world.
Yeah, that's true. Still.
And it is, like, I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, that's true. I'm trying to think now of the other, the rest of the series, and I can't think of any other.
No. I mean, they bring in
there's non-humans.
Races, like non-human races, but there's no actual distinguishable,
no different races within the human.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Skelligers, which is sort of like the kind of Celtic,
the Welsh
slash Viking thing, and then they call they're called Redania, which is where Novigrad and everything is.
They
call them Nordlings, and they're sort of, they talk about them from the north, and so there's a real, like, you know, Jon Snowy, Eddard Stark kind of vibe to all of them.
Yeah.
So I guess, it is very much like an allegory of
it's not
Europe.
It doesn't deter me from anything. It's just an interesting thing I noticed last night playing.
I do wonder, like, because they do mention, there's a place they always talk about, Zeracania.
Jesus, who comes up with these names?
Yeah. But, like, just the way it sounds, I picture that to be, like, a more sort of Arabian...
Yeah.
Sort of type country.
We'll see.
Like a deserty sort of area.
Mm. Oh, that's the other thing. There's a lot of, like, the landscape isn't, based on all the trailers and stuff like that, you basically just see this jungle, swamp land sort of environments. But there's snowy areas, there's super sandy areas, there's really the city, the main city, Novigrad, you just mentioned.
Great.
It's huge.
It's so big.
You were telling me when you first got there, you were saying, like, oh, I was wandering around, and I was finding alleys, and I was there for like 2 hours, and I still hadn't seen the whole thing, and I was like, all right, you're just stupid.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's
that big,
really,
isn't it?
Really big.
Because when, like, you look at it in the map, it does not look that big at all.
Not compared to everything else. It looks like it's the biggest settlement, but it doesn't look that big. Once you get there and you stand and you scan the whole city, like, I can go everywhere.
It's like, in another open world game, that would just be a third of the game.
Sure.
Just that city.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like an Assassin's Creed city.
Mm.
So, like, if you take you take Venice or whatever from Assassin's Creed 2. You went to Venice in that game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like...
I thought you were saying that. You've been to Venice in Assassin's Creed 2, haven't you? Have you travelled in Assassin's Creed 2?
No, you haven't. Am I?
I've been all everywhere. I've been in Florence. Rome.
I've seen it all.
I anyway. Saw the Pope.
Yeah.
Tried to kill him. Didn't work.
What times we had. It feels like that, of that scale. Mm. So it's really cool.
And it just feels that detailed too. Like, all the building placements still feel that deliberate. Like, one thing I loved is that when you meet up with Triss, the place that she's staying in, first time I walked in, I was like, this, like, room feels kind of off-kilter. Like, that's a really... this is just dodgy, like, rendering. Have they done this properly? And then the next time I went to a house, I approached from a different angle, and I realized that it was like the whole building wasn't level because it's like it was slowly sinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just like it was a really crappy building.
That's awesome.
And so they've just deliberately made this one building look really off kilter and run down, which is so great.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is another thing I noticed. I mean, I'm comparing it to Skyrim. I don't know if that's fair or not, but
I think it's fair.
That's just how I've have
especially when you get to Skelliger. I mean, Skelliger is very similar.
Yeah, in tone.
Visually to Skyrim.
So, yeah, I mean, that was going to be my point in that. Fantasy games like Skyrim, and I haven't played Dragon Age Inquisition, but I think I've seen enough to sort of make this point, is that the world feels like a fantasy world. It feels like something you would have never imagined. It feels like a fantastical thing. Whereas the world of The Witcher 3 still looks and behaves like a real world that you would imagine it to have behaved in ye olde times. You have the town full. There's no... even though there are beasts and fantastical creatures within that world, the actual aesthetic of the world, the trees, the grass, the buildings, it's all very real.
Mm.
And I think that's what I like about it. I think I like the fact that this looks like what I read in my history books, minus the ghouls and the drowners and stuff like that.
But it is very grounded, though, in that, like,
yeah.
I think that's what drew me to it the first, like, when I first played Witcher 2. Because it was just after I'd read the first Game of Thrones book.
Hmm.
And I got into it for all the same reasons, where it was like, yeah, it's fantasy, but there's all these grounded issues at the core of this world that you bind
politics
to. The politics, yeah. It's all like, you know, the non-human stuff and the racial and the anti-elf stuff and, you know, this fear of mages is just like this fear of the new technology or whatever. And
yeah, it was
the way they sort of, I love the whole pull and push of the way people feel about witches, which is like, you're a mutant, you're a freak, we don't trust you,
help
oh
us.
We need your help.
yeah.
But then as soon as you're gone, you're so good at doing this thing that we couldn't do, and it freaks us out and we don't understand it, so we go back to like
hating you.
Who are you? Yeah, it's such a great sort of,
it's,
like,
it is,
yeah, I mean, it's almost like X-Men in a lot of ways. That sort of,
yeah, unknown, like, yeah, these unknown beings. Yeah, totally. It's really cool. It's really refreshing to see a game do something like this on this scale and do it really, really successfully. I mean, so often a lot of, because, I mean, there was, for me anyway, there was a lot of hype around this game just in terms of what I thought it was going to bring to the table based on the gameplay trailers and stuff like that and what we had seen. And I think it absolutely delivered. Like, I'm so,
you know, at this stage, my only complaint is that Crow's Nest, which is like the Baron's fortress.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where the blacksmith is. Who's a master blacksmith, the only person who can craft sort of really high level armor.
He's one of
just them. That. It takes so far to get. Like, the spawn point is not close enough to him, so that's, every time
so
you go there...
You fast travel outside the place, you gotta walk in.
Every single time. It takes, like, forever to walk in there, and it's like, he's the only master crafter.
No.
Yeah, he's the only one who can actually do, the highest level
There's
armor.
There's one in Novigrad.
No, he does swords, not armor. Ooh. The sword guy is in Novigrad, and the armor guy is in...
That's how the
crow's nest. Yeah, but the sword guy, there's a... You know, it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Fast travel in, go there, give me your swords, bing, bang, boom, nice to see you.
There you go.
Fangus a dumpling on the way.
Fangus a dumpling.
Because he makes dumplings. I don't know if you know that about...
I do, I got up to that mission.
What's his name, Hattori? Hattori the swordsmith?
Yeah, that was...
Have you done that? That's a high-level mission.
I found the mission. Yeah. Well, I went to Novigrad way too early.
I went to do the next step in that without looking at... And that's the other problem with the fact that every quest is so difficult, like ranked with sort of difficulties, is that unless you are checking your quest log... For each quest, you can just wander into a quest that you're way too low level for. Which is what I did with that guy. He was like, meet me at the docks. I was like, okay,
I'm sure, exploring. Buddy.
I'll head down there. And then I just happened to be walking past later and was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll do that quest. And, oh boy, I was not prepared for like level 30 dwarves or whatever.
No one has time for that. They named him, they named that character off like the famous swordsman, didn't they?
Yeah, Hattori. Yeah, I guess so. Like Hattori Hanzo.
They do. That's another thing I've seen. That there's, because there's so many people in so many different areas. There's a lot of references to different things. And now that I've said that, I can't remember one.
A big one that we haven't talked about yet.
Do you want to tell us about it, Ben?
So I can't remember if we've talked about this in the past on the show. Maybe
we
may in passing.
I think we touched on it.
But a long time ago, when Carlo spoke to Jakub Smalek, who is one of the chief quest writers at CD Projekt Red, when he was over in Europe. In fact, we played the whole interview on
that
show.
Right, I remember that.
Carlo ended that interview by saying, you know, I think I've always thought it would be really cool just to have a boat captain named Carlo. This is Carlo being very cheeky, you know, having a bit of a laugh, a bit of a nudge and a wink with Jakub. And Jakub said, oh, well, you know, I mean, I'll see if there's anything I can do if I have a chance to name anything.
Like, okay, all right, buddy.
And, you know, this became an ongoing joke between us and the good people at CD Projekt Red with us tweeting, saying, hey, what's all this about Carlo the Boat Captain? Da, 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 da.
Hashtag Carlo the Boat Captain.
People got involved. It was good fun. Turns out they made Carlo the Boat Captain. They gave us a cheeky clue. Michal from CD Projekt Red gave us a cheeky little clue on Twitter, and we were like searching like mad.
I know.
And I ended up, before the last bonus stage, having to discreetly send Michal a message saying, look, we're trying to find him. I would love it if we could find exactly where he is in the next 2 days, so that when we're on stage on Wednesday night... Because, Carl, we had this whole segment planned, and you and I talked about it, where we were going to say, look... We know that Carlo the Boat Captain is somewhere in this area. We'd love you guys to all go out and find them. But I thought it would be so much better if,
we found
unbeknownst
him.
To Carlo, we found him. And then while he's in the middle of telling people, I want you to go out, search every dock, talk to every sail, I could just be like, sorry, Carlo, just don't want to stop you there. Just have a look at this video really quickly.
And we did.
And
you
we
found
did.
It. We played the video.
Carlo still didn't believe it. He was shaking his head all night, just going, I'm an Easter egg, guys. Yeah. I'm an Easter egg.
It was ridiculous.
And I don't want to say, like, I mean, we're thinking of, it could be fun if, you know, I still don't want to give away exactly where he is. I mean, we've said he's in Skellige. And if you look at the photo, he's clearly, you know, from Skellige.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of ports.
We should
I love the idea of people going out and finding
him. And they're sending us the photo. Send in the email
us
in the photo.
Take a selfie of yourself with Carlo the boat captain and send
That's
it to
a
us.
Really good idea. Are we starting that right now? Are we starting that campaign right now?
Yeah, do it. Send us a selfie and we'll repost you and give you a mention on the show.
Yeah, hashtag Carlo the boat captain.
it was just great. And the things, the little things I learned about it that I don't know if it was just something they put in there in general or if it was something specifically for Carlo, but if you try to fight him, he's invincible, for one thing. Yeah. You can attack all the guards on his boat, but not him. And while you're fighting on his boat, he just stands there putting his arms in the air going, woohoo!
And the only people you can't kill are quest givers.
Yeah.
And the only people with names who are NPCs are quest givers.
That's my favorite thing. Actually, yeah. Tegan from Geek Bomb posted about Carlo the Boat Captain because Lee from Geek Bomb did an amazing bit of like a fan art about Carlo the Boat Captain within a day, which
ridiculous.
Is incredible.
People are way more talented.
It's all on Facebook if you want to have a look. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yet somehow they've made a character in a game because of a ridiculous request we made. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So when Tegan tweeted about it, someone from Geek Bomb, or like, you know, a fan of Geek Bomb, commented, "Oh my god, I found that guy. I wanted
Holy
to know
shit,
who he
really?
Was." Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we should make this a thing. Everyone go out and find him. I want to find him. I'm not up to that part in the game yet.
No, but when you are, it's going to become this fun little thing to find because that guy's comment made me realize that, I mean, you're right. The only named characters are people who you talk to.
Mm.
Even merchants and stuff are just merchant.
Yeah.
Blacksmith, Skellige, peasant.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming across someone called Carlo the Captain, you go, and his name's in green,
and
which
he can't
kind
be killed.
Of indicates that they have something to talk about. It makes you go, okay, well, he's got to have a quest later, you know?
Yeah.
You talk to him, he just says, hello, Geralt, hello, Geralt of Rivia.
Like, how does he know who you are?
Everyone knows you. You're like this dude with white hair.
Yeah, you're right.
That no one else, and you've got yellow eyes.
Yeah, okay. It'd be weird if you
and you got that name tag if that says Geralt of Rivia.
Right, yeah. I'm a stupid. It'd be weird if he gave more details. Hello, Geralt of Rivia. Parents, aged, born, and it lists your fears.
I guess it was too much to hope that they gave him Carlo-ish things to say. Always sailing, just sailing a little bit every
Never
day.
Not sailing. Yeah, that'd be ridiculous, right?
Yeah, but I just love that someone's gonna go, who is this guy? Okay, I guess it'll be a quest later, and then maybe they'll go and finish the game, finish all the side quests, and then this little voice will be like, what about that captain you found?
It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. And it's in a game that we all really like as well, so it's like we can look back on it with fond memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be terrible if Carlo the Boat Captain was in.
Just the fact that he's an Easter egg, like he's going to exist forever in this video game.
Yeah.
He's been immortalized in a game.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be in the sequels.
Yeah, DLC, Carlo the Boat Captain DLC.
Oh, brilliant. I'd play the hell out of that.
I reckon they could do it, just because, I mean, I know one of the DLCs is in New Ireland that's not
Oh,
in the
really?
Game. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got like a 30-hour campaign, one of the DLCs.
All right, let's talk about that for a sec, because CD Projekt Red, before the game released, said, screw everyone else and the way that the industry works, we're going to release 16 pieces of DLC, and they're all going to be free. Awesome. Like that's great. And they even said, you know, a lot of them will add story content and stuff
and
like
four
that.
Four of them are out already, I believe.
Four of them are out already. So all we have now is a bunch of, like,
there's horse armor and Geralt armor for Geralt.
Right.
There is new hairdos and beard styles.
And there's a a contract.
There's an extra contract. Yeah. There's a Witcher contract and a alternate look for Yennefer.
Yep.
Which on that, I downloaded it all. It automatically applies the default look. I don't like it like as much as the other one.
You can turn it off.
I don't know how you change it.
Go into the options. You can change the. I was reading up last night. You can change it in the options.
Which options setting?
The options.
Just the options.
Yes.
If you go to options, there's sound, gameplay,
yeah,
audio.
Go to game,
and then
go
right
to,
down the bottom, just says the options.
Use your noodle, mate. You go to gameplay, you go Yennefer
settings.
Yennefer settings. And then
turn them inverted.
Invert those settings. That's it. Invert Yennefer. Good God. So that contract that it gives you in the DLC, is that one of the 30-hour gameplay things that they promise?
That's one of the 16 free bits of DLC.
Hmm.
But then there's two. If you buy the expansion pack, which I think is $30 or something, there's going to be two planned expansions. Like, series, they call them expansions. The first one is a 10-hour story campaign.
Do we get that anyway?
That's based in for the free. No. That's like one of the. That's the W paid one. That's coming out in October, I think.
Interesting.
And then the next one, and that is set, I think, in Novigrad or Velen. It's like that one's in the existing world.
Yeah.
And the second one is a whole new island.
But these two aren't
included.
And it's
a 30-hour campaign. No.
Okay, cool.
But like they've always said that their approach to DLC is they only want to charge if it's a chunk.
Fair enough.
If it's a huge chunk of gameplay, like a proper expansion. Anything else that's incidental, like side missions and skins and stuff, they say is just...
If I'm spending more than 5 hours on a DLC, then I'll totally pay for it.
Yeah.
If I spend more than 2 hours on a DLC,
but that's what I love about like their approach to this game is. I mean, this is a game. It's captured a lot of people. Everyone is loving it. They could charge for this little DLC.
Certainly, other companies.
If this was EA, they'd charge. If it was Ubisoft, they would charge.
Yeah.
But their approach is stronger than their need to make money. I mean, like they're prioritizing wanting to make people.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the game and enjoy the product that they've worked on, which already feels so overloaded with content. There's enough content in that for two games.
Oh, for sure.
And you just know that at a place like EA, they would consider, well, should we hold some of this over for the sequel or for DLC? Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this game has just gone and thrown everything
in. I thought it was really nice. I bought the physical copy because I'm over buying download digital copies. Mm. And it came with a little note in the case which said, hey, guys, thanks for buying the game. We really appreciate you guys. You guys are our favorite. Download the patch because it'll make it look better, and we'll give you some DLC. Thanks. Cheers, CD Projekt Red. I was like, oh,
yeah,
lovely.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
I really do.
So the Witch is not shit. It's not shit at all.
Now this leads me onto my next problem with this game.
Your shit
is that I've loved The Witcher for a long time, right? And now everyone's talking about
it. Oh, you're an... Oh, okay. All right. Back it in, mate.
I don't like it when something that's been like a real private joy of mine suddenly is being splayed out for the whole world.
I was into The Witcher like before everyone else was.
Cool. I'm not even that kind of hipster because I only got into it when I played the first, the second game.
Yeah, so well, it's not even like I jumped onto it. Before the games even came out, so...
But I stuck out with The Witcher 2 when people, not mentioning any names, Fardia,
it was crap.
Gave up because they couldn't handle it.
No shit.
I mean, at least you tried. Carlo gave up because he couldn't play in fucking Polish.
Well, Carlo's an idiot. Carlo wants to play everything in Polish.
He
can't play everything in Polish.
He's so wrong about the Polish. So here's a little glimpse behind the bonus stage scenes. I was gonna do a segment on the last bonus stage, which we're not on air right now. I mean, this is a podcast, so I can say bonus stage. Buy tickets on our website.
We'll plug it again at the end. When it's not as off the...
No. Just, you know, go there, buy tickets, have a great time. No, so it's our live stage show where we talk games and comedy and all that jazz.
Good
and
time.
I wanted to, like, throw it open to the audience and be like, look, Carlo does... For years, literally it has been years now, Carlo will not shut up about Polish language options in the Witcher games. And... I get that he's passionate about it as someone of Polish background who speaks Polish along with a bunch of other languages.
Sure.
And I get that the Polish is quite important to The Witcher's origin.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Polish.
But I don't speak Polish. I speak English.
Yeah, you don't.
He does.
It's unfair.
But most people that... Like, I've heard him go to so many people. People who are easily influenced as well.
He said in his opening monologue.
Carlo's a very convincing guy. He'll come into... Carlo's the kind of guy who'll walk in and go, oh, have you tried just putting hot needles in the soles of your feet? Honestly, you've got to try it.
I know it sounds horrible,
but... You've got to try it. I mean, and part of you will go, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do it, don't do it, whatever, but do it.
I've heard him tell three different people, honestly, Polish language settings. You go there, it's amazing.
He tells me.
And they've gone, oh, okay. And like, look, I'm sure it is amazing, but like...
I'm not Polish. I don't speak Polish. I don't care.
The English voice acting is also phenomenal. I mean, you've got Charles Dance. Like, the guy who does Geralt's voice is great. Like, it's a full cast of awesome actors.
Also, the font size in that game is ridiculously tiny.
Exactly.
So, I'm not going to be able to read the fucking subtitles.
So tiny that they're releasing an update later on, I think, this week or the next week.
A font update.
To increase the font size. because people complain how small it was.
The problem is, it's really needed. Like, I'd be like, oh, that's ridiculous. That's so stupid that they would be doing it. It absolutely needs to happen.
I mean, some stuff it's all right, but it's for me, it's when you have to pick things up and you go, what is that?
What are you doing?
No, orangey flower, whitey flower, Durnaburn?
Yeah, I can't pronounce half the things in the game as it is, and it's in English, right? So I'm not going to be able to do well in Poland.
You're going, Azernakerner. Oh, no, that's actually what it's called, Azernakerner.
Yeah, right. The worst for me is when you go into the inventory, and you're, like, trying to see either how much something is worth or how much damage it does versus what you already have. It's tiny.
Yeah.
I nearly didn't say anything because I was doing a hand motion of it's tiny, and then I realized that this is audio.
How do you feel about the inventory and the whole interface in general? Ah! Have a stroke on it.
What was the question? How do I feel about the inventory? I like it. I don't hate it.
I've spent a lot of time scrolling through stuff. First of all, you don't have a stash anywhere.
No.
That's a bummer.
Right.
I don't like that. Because I've got all of the old contracts and books and every document I've ever picked
up. That's what I was going to say. I mean,
there's nowhere to put it.
It's just like every other inventory system. It's all tabbed. So you've got your weapons and armor in one thing, which is an issue in its own, but that's fine. You've got potions in another, quest items, blah, blah, blah. But one of the tabs is just like the notes that you pick up and the books that you pick up and stuff like that. But there's no, like, they don't, you keep them all. Like, they all stay there. And if you pick up something new, sometimes it goes to the first slot so you can read it, but sometimes it doesn't for me. So I'll pick up something new and the quest will be read that thing you just picked up.
You know what that's happened to me? Was that the bear thing?
I don't know. Oh, it's happened a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It'll say, like, read such and such's letter that you just picked up. You go to the inventory and it won't be the first one. So you'll have to say, fuck, what was it called? And you have to, like, go through every one of them until you find it and then press.
But also, it puts, like, those letters and stuff that's quest related, it puts them in. There's that quest category.
Yeah.
Then there's an other category. I mean, one thing that Skyrim did well is that it had a huge section just for notes and stuff.
Yeah.
In this, it puts books and notes in the same category as it's usable objects.
Usable items, yeah.
So the one that you're going to the most frequently for potions and eating, I have to scroll through, like,
they're not really usable items either. Like, they're not.
No.
They're certainly
what are you
going to
do with, like, for a doorstop?
Yeah.
Read them once.
Can you get rid of them once you've read them?
You can, and what apparently I've heard that it remembers if you drop stuff somewhere, it'll always be there. It will never disappear.
Look, I think
I just don't trust that.
Geralt just needs a notebook. He just needs to, like, file all of his stuff.
Just get a Kindle.
He needs to do. Geralt just needs to get a Kindle.
He can just cut down on his inventory.
What kind of world are we living in when we're not doing everything online? I mean,
although
come
like
on, Geralt.
At least the books they don't weigh very much. Here's a little pro tip. Do a lot of Witcher quests early on. Save all of that money up. First of all, never buy armor.
What do you mean Witcher quests? The contracts?
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
Never buy armor.
Why? Oh, make it.
Make your armor. Because that Witcher armor, the scavenger hunter stuff you get, is better than any other armor you'll get.
I don't even know what that is.
Have you found any treasure hunt little side quests that's called treasure hunt or scavenger hunt?
I've got one. I've got a treasure hunt one, but it's too high.
Was that like a Witcher sword?
I haven't done it.
Okay. That stuff is all, like, the best gear.
Oh, shit.
All
right.
There's, like, they're all themed from all the different Witcher schools. There's the cat school of the cat, which is, like, for light armor.
Do you get those?
School of the griffin, which is medium armor, and school of the bear, which is heavy armor.
Do you find those treasure hunts on the bounty board?
No. You find treasure hunts, treasure maps from merchants around Velen and that area.
Next time, like work.
No, it's not. It's great. Next time you go to...
No, you're wrong.
But also, if you're exploring a lot, you'll probably just find some. You'll find one, and when you find one, it opens the quest for the others.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
It's not. Honestly, like, it still feels less busy work than the entirety of Dragon Age.
How was Dragon Age?
As a game?
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. Compared to this, like,
Yeah.
What I liked about Dragon Age is you have a really great cast of party members on your side.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr.
And your character feels really vague and broad. It's like they've tried to make your character, like, blank enough that you can imagine what they're like.
Like Freddie Prinze
Jr. But in a BioWare game, like, Commander Shepard isn't blank. Commander Shepard is a specific character. And you make decisions and that shapes what kind of Shepard you've got. You know what I mean?
But I can't help but notice that Commander Shepard is not Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay, all right. Whereas, let's go to The Witcher. Geralt is awesome. And he's a full character, and you can dig him. And he would,
you can dig him.
He would smack Freddie Prinze Jr. in his pretty boy face.
He certainly would.
He has some great dialogue choices, Geralt. What I love about the writing in that game is that they prioritize what Geralt would be like. So if you have a moral dilemma, it's not as simple as yes or no. It'll still be through a Geralt prism.
I've had some...
So even if you say yes to something that you think Geralt probably wouldn't really want to do, he'll answer with... okay. Like, he's still really, like... It feels
just
natural.
He should just
really
look at the screen and be like, why do you keep accepting these? Like, is he talking to me?
Or... Like, there was one where he's asked to do something that's kind of morally dubious, and you know that he's not okay with it. And I was kind of thinking, well... I'm going to say yes just because I want to see what they're up to. And he's like, someone's going to keep an eye on you guys. And I was awesome. Yeah. Like, we're on the same wavelength.
I remember, like, there have been a couple of times because I'm... I don't know if I'm shit at the game or if I'm just... It got to a point where I just got into this huge fight and I was like, I had barely any health, and I got to a cutscene. And the cutscene was basically saying, do you want to help us fight this new thing? Or not. That was basically the options that I had. And I was like, well, I want to, because I want the experience points.
Really
stuff.
Tired,
but
guys.
I can't. I'm knackered. So I'm going to say no. And everyone was like, everyone just looked at Geralt and was just really disappointed in him. Just like, oh.
Okay. I had this quest.
They all died.
I had this quest and, I mean, it's a very mild spoiler, but it's a side mission. And there's so many of them in this game that I feel like you deal with it, right? Where this guy wanted me to go and help his foolish son with some mission he was doing. He was doing some foolhardy quests. He was like, my son, he's really brash. He doesn't suffer other people. He won't trust you. Da 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 da. So I went there to go help him. And he was like, who are you? Why are you here? And the options were, your father sent me, or look like you need a witcher for help. And I thought, you know what? This guy could use a witch. Like, that's... If I tell him my father sent me, he'll be like, oh, God, dad's trying to meddle again. You know, I don't need help. So I was like... Oh, I just thought you might need a witcher, you know? And he was we're fighting monsters. Yeah, that could be really handy. Yeah, okay, we'll give you a witcher's fee and all this stuff. And then at the end of it, he goes, oh, I know that you were already bound by honor to help me because my father asked you to, and you accepted payment from me anyway. Be gone from this place. I don't want to deal with you. And I was like, no. I was trying to manipulate you into letting me help you. Oh, wait.
Take the money back. You're making bank, though,
that's
all that matters.
Anytime I walk into that town, people just go, like, spit.
Oh, is that
ground.
What they're doing? I hear them do that.
Yeah, they spit. Yeah, they spit.
People spit on me all the time. That's bullshit. So, in real life, Ben.
I did it when you arrived.
On the way here. Oh, that's what that
Anytime
is.
Anytime I'm not talking on this show, just assume I'm spitting silently in the corner.
In my direction. One thing you can do in this game is before you accept a Witcher contract, or whatever.
Oh, the haggle.
Yeah, you haggle. But it seems like such a... Like, it seems stupid.
Do you feel like a dick every time you haggle?
This is the way my haggling works. It basically starts you at the base fee that they're going to offer you, and it's a slider. You can slide either way, or the end, or in the middle. If you go too far, they get annoyed and pull the contract, right? And no one wants that. I always... This is my mode. My method is I go all the way to the end, and then I go maybe four notches back in, and I go over that one first. Never takes.
No.
Right? The only way you can get more money out of them is by going like $5 more, $6 more.
Okay. I go 30. That's my standard. That's my go-to.
Is it your standard? Yeah, that's cool. You should add like a
percentage. I've got
on to
that's
all
my
of them.
Industry rates.
Yeah. I'm the best. All right.
I add 30. I'm still giving you much lower than the industry standard, guys. Because I mean, this is what like Carlo said in his monologue at our bonus edge. They're like, okay, which is it? They're base. They're just tradies.
Yeah, totally.
That's what haggling feels like. You feel like you're going, look, this is a lot more than a standard job here. I mean, you're telling me you got knackers. I found a leshen. Yeah. Okay, there was a rock troll.
There's some hooligans down by the lake. I think they're called the drowners or something. I don't know. They called me a square.
On
me.
You know, Jigsy and the Drowny Boys.
Oh, Jigsy.
They're hanging out under the bridge.
Bloody hooligan, Jigsy.
Mugging tourists. Oh, man.
Mugging tourists.
Yeah.
Yeah, tourists saying all that.
It is funny. I do like it. It's a great... Like, someone described it on Twitter as the Witcher simulator you never realized you wanted. And I thought it was a weird way of saying it, but it's like, it is a perfect Witcher simulator. So for someone who's never, who doesn't know what a Witcher is, that means nothing. But the moment you play it, you get it. Like,
yeah,
the game really excels at putting you in this role, not just as a character, but in the role of what a witcher is.
Like, it's inspired
me. You really feel like a monster hunter. You're just this wandering bounty hunter traveling from settlement to settlement looking for work.
Yeah.
And you're not driven by this noble purpose. It's just that's your
job. It's actually inspired me to become a witch in real life. And so far, I got to tell you,
I'm digging the contacts.
Yeah, it's going well. You know, I'm rolling in the money. I've killed a lot of people. Killed a lot of people.
Marty, that's not a necker. Yeah. He's just a kindly old man.
Yes, and now he's... Where's my money?
I'm impressed at how... I mean, like, I put a lot of hours into it, and I'm still finding new monsters here and there.
Ben, you put 10 days into it, mate.
I don't know how I'm alive.
You put 265 hours to it. Eat something!
But I've done all of the... I mean, my side quest list is just Gwent... And racing and fist fighting.
I'm not doing Gwent. Have you done any? Have you finished the campaign? The main story?
It keeps going.
It doesn't end.
I thought I was up to the end. I wasn't.
It was a face of pain.
There was a huge, like, sort of confrontation it built up to that I thought was going to be the end. And then it ends with this huge dramatic thing that happens, which is not a spoiler. But, like, it's such a thing that happens that you kind of go, well, where is this going? Like, the game just keeps going, and you're like,
awesome.
There's no resolution. And you're
I'm
like,
so excited.
Is this just a turning point for the rest of the game? And then, bang, like, all these other events, and then it goes open. Like, you enter this part of the game where you think it kind of closes off. You even get a warning that's like, you should save your progress here, because you're not going to be able to, it'll close off some stuff. So you sort of think, I'm entering that final.
Yep.
And it just keeps going. It's like, it'd be like in Mass Effect 2, is after you take on the Reaper base.
Yeah.
You get back to Shepard, and it's like, all right, now go on and do some other stuff. That's what it's like. And so then there was a quest after that, and the name, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like, you know, final mission or something. Mm-hmm. Final something. But it's not.
Fantastic.
And now I'm in another one with a name like that, and I just kind of go, well, I can't even trust that this is going to be the end. Wolf.
Yeah, no, you have no idea. Have you been playing anything else?
No. No. But, but I've been loving it. Like, it's been a real... It's real joy. Like, it's been a long time since I had a game like this where I just savored every single aspect of it.
It's pretty phenomenal. It's
even the stuff that I'm not really playing, I'm telling myself next time I do another playthrough in harder difficulty, I'll get all into that stuff. Mm. Like, I'm already planning my next playthrough, things I want to do. Like, one thing I want to do is establish...
You're not going to go again. You're not going to start it again.
I will. What I think I will do is I'll wait till all of the free DLC is out and I'm going to finish the rest of the books. And then go back to it after a while. I'll wait till the next quiet zone. But I'm looking forward to just doing another, you know.
That stresses me out. Restarting that game would stress me out.
No, but you know why I'm looking forward to it? Because it's a game with so much on. And there's so many things that you want to go and do.
Yeah,
I want to do a playthrough of it, right, where the rules are no fast travel. I want to turn off
the map.
All of the HUD. And I want to do it in a harder difficulty.
Just have a playthrough. That won't be fun. You'll get... an hour in and be like, oh, fuck this.
No, that'd be awesome.
No, it won't.
That'd be awesome.
No, it won't.
Anytime I forget about the map, I find something really cool. And anytime I do it, I focus too much on the map, I feel like you're just skipping these large sections.
Do you ever turn the map off?
No.
See, I do.
But
that.
I'd like to.
I actually turn the map off now and then when I don't want to actually do a mission and just like try to get from point A to B.
I'd turn the map off, I reckon, if there was a one-hit map button.
There
if
is,
I could
hold down the start button and go straight to the map.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did it take? That's interesting.
Not long. Like, hold it for an extra half a second.
There's little shortcuts like that I mean, I love left and right on the D-pad is your left sword and your right sword, but part of me can't help but think, you know what, surely there's a more efficient way to...
Well, anytime he needs any of the swords, he pulls out the right one. So
yeah.
I
almost would have preferred if left on the D-pad was go to your inventory, right on the D-pad was go directly to map or something. You know what I mean? Like other games do.
Yeah, just get rid of the swords. You know, he just never has a sword.
No, but I mean, like you say,
no,
he pulls out the one that he needs based on the situation.
Apparently you can turn the sword off.
What?
I was reading somewhere, I could have misread, but I think you can get rid of the swords. Like not use a... Well, you can not equip swords. And there were people doing playthroughs doing just magic, using just their signs.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And not using any of their swords.
Well, I mean, imagine how intense your... Okay, this is something we haven't talked about. The leveling up system. How do you feel about that? There's a lot of stuff to level up.
There is. There's a lot to level up. And it seems you level up quite slow. Like, I've been playing for a long time. By my standards. I'm only level 8. And it's like every time you level up, you get... It's almost like a skill tree but you can only equip certain skills. So like, you get all these options of, like, you know, more powerful strong attack, more powerful fast attack. You can unlock different levels of your magic, so they do more damage or different kinds of damage or stuff like that. But you can only equip a certain amount of them. So it's almost like you have loadouts that you can swap in and out of. And the more you level up, the more slots you can open up to equip things. But total, you can only have 9 skills.
Yeah, and active. Also, you can only have 9 skills, and there's this extra element with the mutagens where...
Oh, yeah, if you match the colour of these...
So, you know, red is swords, blue is signs, green is alchemy, and then there's this sort of fourth neutral colour that doesn't mean anything.
As in, you don't know what it is.
No, well, fourth is, like, general, and there's no mutagen that is that colour anyway. But if you put the mutagen slot in each 4 sort of level up quadrant...
Yeah.
And then any other colors. Skill with that color gives a bonus to the mutagen. So the green mutagens give you extra health. And if you have 3 green alchemy skills in that little quadrant,
you get a bonus.
It gives you like 4 times that
but
boost.
I feel like that's only really, I mean, for me, that would only become relevant once I've unlocked all the other slots where I can put skills in. Because at the moment, I'm just putting in whatever I have. Mm. You know what I mean? But once I unlock all the slots and so they're all available, then I can start like planning out. I'll put the 4 green ones there with the green mutagen. I'll put the 3 blue ones there with the blue mutagen. And, like, do it that way.
See, because I'm on, like, a lower difficulty. I mean, I'm a really powerful character. And it's hard to know. And it's because I've done that. Like, I've done all that mutagen stuff. So I have extra health. I have... I do, like, something like 80% extra sign intensity, which I don't know what that is. What
is
sign
intense,
intensity? Is it more damage? Does it look more vivid?
I think he just,
is it brighter?
I think he just gets into it more.
Geralt, you look at his face when he's doing a fire spell and it's just like...
Geralt, calm down. Geralt, calm down. they use very colourful language in that game.
Like, I'm not sure if I really like... I like the theory of the... your character screen. I'm just not sure if I like the way it's been balanced.
I like that you can't just once you've unlocked things, you can't just like do everything. It reminds me a lot of Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
Do you ever play that? I think it reminds me of the skill system in that, because you unlocked certain abilities for certain characters and you had to equip those.
But why it annoys me is because it doesn't feel like it's that kind of RPG to me. To me, it's more like Batman Arkham City.
No.
Where, this isn't a game where I'm making a choice, like, do I want to be a sword character or a magic character or an alchemy character?
That's true, I guess.
Like, Geralt should be all of those things. And so I feel like it should be more balanced that you can have... Like, I've tried to have a mix of all things, and you can't actually have a good mix.
Mm.
Because 3 skills, like, they're shitty skills.
Yeah.
There's not...
It doesn't add much. Like,
no.
From 5 hours in, I don't think you get any more equipment. Like, you don't get new ability, like new equipment or anything. So it's...
And the stats, they're pretty basic. It's like extra damage.
Yeah.
You know, slightly less recharge.
Yeah.
Intensity, whatever that means.
See, I've thought about maybe I need to do, because it's like that, because that's how the leveling up works, and it's very sort of hard to be really, really powerful because you can't just stack everything. I've thought about turning the difficulty down. I won't do it, but that's my complaint. So far in my game, my character doesn't feel powerful. He doesn't feel like a badass that everyone thinks he is, because he gets ganked by a bunch of...
How much do you use potions? Apparently potions, they're just crucial for a lot. Harder difficulty.
I only just, in the last hour or so of playing, unlocked the potion... brewed the potion that gives you health.
Oh, Swallow.
Swallow.
That's like the only potion I use. Swallow and Thunderbolt.
They're the only two I use now as well, but I didn't actually have the health potion, so many missions I would be doing with like that much health.
I love that health potion too, because it is still not an easy health potion.
No, because it does it slowly.
All it does is it lets you regenerate, but you still have to avoid combat and not get hit.
Mm. The combat, we haven't actually, I don't think we've talked much about the combat. Like, it's really unlike anything out there. I mean, the flavor of the month of the last few years seems to be the Arkham Asylum style of combat, which is block, press X the right time to counter, and then wail on a dude. It was the same with Assassin's Creed. It was the same with Sleeping Dogs. Like, a bunch of different games that had that.
This
thing.
Doesn't feel like that, though, to me. This feels
not. This feels more like
light Dark Souls, almost, in a way.
It reminds me a lot of Dark Souls. One, because I'm finding it really difficult. And two, because it's you have a strong attack, a heavy attack. The heavy attack takes time, but is more powerful, obviously, and stronger. but it feels like a really difficult third-person Skyrim, like, in that you press a button and he does once.
My favorite thing about the combat, I think, is you have dodge and you have pirouette.
Yep.
And just knowing when to use each is great. Like, it changes. You feel really fast and fluid when you get the balance right of, like, oh, I nailed that pirouette. And now, because your pirouette is, like, a really small... You know, it's good for dodging short attacks, but then you're really close to the enemy, so you can attack almost instantly, whereas those...
The rule I've noticed is use
the bosses you need to dodge a lot of the time. Yeah.
The rule I've noticed is use the pirouette when you're versing humans, and then use the roll dodge when using versing things.
Where it comes in is that dodge uses stamina, pirouette doesn't.
Right. Yeah. So you can't use like a magic or whatever. It doesn't. I don't.
And if you're trying to time using your Quen, which is your shield. Witcher shield spell. Yeah. You're trying to time using that in between attacks from, like, an ogre whilst also dodging.
Well, that's
it. Becomes this really interesting, like, strategy of, do I dodge or do I put my shield up? Because he's about to hit me.
Oh, God,
if I put my shield
now
up, I'm going to lose it instantly.
Yeah, and when
whereas
he hits
if I dodge, I won't be able to put my shield up for another, like, 10 seconds.
And when he hits you, it's like, well, do I use my potion or do I use my shield? Like, which one of those things? So you're balancing, do I pirouette, do I roll? Do I use my light attack? Do I use my heavy attack? When do I use my magic abilities? When do I use my potions? Should I eat now? All within this
tiny... Should I eat now? I mean, I've got to take this monster out. How do I do it? Oh, that chicken sandwich is getting cold. That's one thing I love about this game, that he actually has chicken sandwiches to eat. Like, it's got really fantasy food. Like, you know, you've got your grapes, your meat, your, you know, rabbit stew. And then it's just like chicken sandwich, ham sandwich. Yeah.
Raw meat. He just goes to town on raw meat. He loves it.
Oh, werewolf meat? Don't get me started.
Oh, mate. Tender.
And you use food. I mean, I haven't eaten food for ages.
I haven't eaten in months, Ben.
But that's how easy the game's gotten for me in terms of how strong Geralt is. That just he hasn't needed to eat food. Whereas early on, my Geralt was there in the middle of a cave, just stuffing his face.
No, that's it. Me
oh
too.
God, sandwich! Oh, he's so a real good comfort eater.
Yeah,
Geralt.
Totally. He doesn't
he's facing the wild hunt. And he's just like crying into his chicken sandwich. Where's Ciri?
The wild hunt arrives. See him. They're like, oh fuck, let's just leave this guy to do his thing.
He's in a state.
We'll come back. Oh god. Yeah, Geralt's not actually always cracked up to be. Yeah, so I'm finding it really difficult, and I don't know whether I should...
That's what Carlo said to me the other day, too. He was like, I die far too often in The Witcher.
Yeah, you do. You die all the time. And this is the other thing. Like, I find that... And I don't like doing this, because I feel like it breaks the momentum of the game, but I find that before I get to an enemy encounter or anything I think will lead to my death, I'll manually save.
See, that's the other thing. I reckon it needs a quick save button.
Has any game on the console about a quick save button?
Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was now, but the back button was quick save.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But
I remember that.
It was a game, like a recent game too, even.
I feel like...
Maybe Mass Effect or... No, it was something.
I feel like it's definitely needed, because pausing it, saving it, pressing thing, because I die so often, and because the autosaves really aren't that great.
They're not. Like, they're not good for exploration. They're all right for...
missions
and stuff.
But if you're going across the country to see some little village and you get killed halfway by some creatures, the save is...
But you know what? I don't think meditation saves.
No, it doesn't.
And it should, because it's like... Essentially, that's what waiting did in Skyrim, and it helped. And I meditate a lot before a fight because you heal yourself and you get all your...
I meditate before I start playing the game.
I meditate while playing the game.
Yeah, that's it.
I enter a trance. Yeah. But no, but like, meditation refills your potions. It's a thing that you do more often.
Sometimes fills your potions. It doesn't always. It only does it if you have strong alcohol.
Alco-hest or whatever it is.
And my Geralt does not drink, okay? So he does not carry alcohol.
Does he never...
He keeps his mind clear.
My Geralt got really drunk.
Oh, did he? Oh, Geralt. He's a classic.
Ran into a couple of poets sitting by the road. Join us for a drink, sir. Join us for a drink. Woke up. No shirt. No gear. They robbed me. They took everything I had.
That sucks, man.
Tracked them down, and I got my stuff back, and then made them strip off, stand there nude, left them. Just left them there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All of that actually happened.
Wow. I did that in real life.
It's got this great thing, this game, where you're so, like, you'll be so driven by whatever purpose you have. You know, I've got to go to this place and save this person. But the moment you see an exclamation mark appear on your map, you're like, hey!
It's like a kid with ADHD.
Something else!
I'm going to save the... Ooh.
Siri needs my help. Oh, those guys are having a drink by the side of the road.
It'd be rude not to join them.
I need a nightcap. Yeah. It's just a real swell game.
It's just neat.
It's real neato.
This game is just neato. And I would like to play more of it.
It's also probably the most... It's just the best adaptation from anything, I think. Like, a game based on an original source. I can't think of anything that brought something to life. With so much depth.
I certainly can't think of anything that's been adapted from a book. Metro.
But even that was like, I mean, I feel like the way that they've taken the world and still let you explore it at your own pace and crammed so much world knowledge. I mean, every little document, every side mission.
Yeah, the difference between those two is that Metro is a retelling of the book, whereas these Witcher games are essentially act as sequels. Maybe not official, but they take place after the events of the book.
They carry on and they've made, like, there are huge dramatic changes in the story, like, that affect characters from the books.
Yeah.
So it's like an amazing expansion on something that already exists. I mean, it'd be like if we had an epic game where Harry Potter was the main character as, like, a young man working as an Auror or something, you know?
I would play the hell out of that.
Of course you would, because it's a great concept, and that's what this game is. It's like...
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that a lot of people haven't read the books, but it's so well done that you still fall into that world with such deftness that I hope that this... I mean, I complained about it before, but that's because I'm very precious about the stuff that I love. I do love... I mean, even my girlfriend, Emma, is... She watched me play the game for, like, maybe 15 minutes.
Mm.
And I've been trying to get her to read the Witcher books for, like, over a year. And after 15 minutes of that game, she's like, yeah, I'd read that.
See, the thing is, I didn't like the second one. I didn't care about the politics of it.
I reckon you would. I reckon you went back...
I'm certainly not going back.
No, you wouldn't. I mean, you couldn't because of the gameplay, but I reckon just from...
What I know now.
The world aspect of it, everything would make so much more sense.
I'll tell you what I...
Little things like, you'd be like, oh yeah, Scoia'tael. You mean like that...
The elves.
The elves and sort of non-human bands of rogues. Yeah.
And, they're jerks in this game.
Yeah, they are.
Everyone's
a jerk in this game.
Yeah. the second one, don't really bug me about the second one. And I had to actually, when you started playing it, specifically ask you because I knew it would piss me off. I didn't like that every time you entered a building or a new area... He would do this stilted, animated, like, I'm going to open the door, it'll fade to black, it'll go to loading screen, and now I'm inside. I really hated that, because I hated the way if I approached the door on an angle, he would, like, magically appear in front of it and then go in. It was like that sort of
scripted thing. Sort of extension of that, I love how your default speed is walk in Witcher 3 when you're going into buildings.
Oh, yeah, you don't just take off.
In fact, it was one of the things that took me the longest to adjust to is how you move quite fast as a default walking speed in the world. It took me a little while to adjust to, like, overshooting. Like, you know how, say, a Rockstar game, your default speed is that kind of relaxed walk. And then you hold down A and you'll do a jog and you tap A to sprint. I feel like that's always felt like the most natural way to move around in an open world environment to me, because you do get that nice, like, I'm in a city, I'm just walking, I'm looking at things on the side. Whereas sometimes in The Witcher, I do feel like the game is wanting me to move through areas faster than I might otherwise.
See, I actually found that more about GTA, because, I mean, how many times do you play GTA and you're, like, trying to get through a door and you keep running past the door? Because... The GTA physics engine really utilizes the weight of the person you're playing, so it takes them time to stop. Like, they overshoot things just naturally. That's
partly user error if you're pressing A. You know what I mean? You have the option to
slow down a bit.
Whereas like Witcher, you have to. It's a huge pain in the ass to force yourself to do a slow walk.
Mm. Barely tap.
Yeah, you just sort of lightly touch it. It's such a minor thing, like... but it's one of the first questions that a friend of mine on my Xbox friends list asked me by message when he saw I was playing it early. He said, weird question, what's the default walking speed like? And I just knew exactly what he meant as soon as he asked it.
Cause it's interesting.
It's taken me out of games. So, like, one of the things I loved in the beginning of the Batman Arkham games is you have that nice measured walking pace when you first enter that environment, because you feel moving and you feel like you're in the...
Mm.
In the mind of that character, but you're also moving slow enough that you can be moving the camera around and looking to your left and taking it all in.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes in The Witcher, you sort of feel like you're just bolting through a forest.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, it's yeah, no, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right.
Bloody spot on.
You're bloody spot on, mate.
We should we've been banging on for a long time. We should start wrapping it up.
Did we just spend an hour talking about The Witcher?
We really did. I mean, we normally do 10-minute reviews on the radio show.
Yeah. So anyway, it's crap.
Just like the game. The game is 10 really times
terrible.
Longer than
the game. This game is terrible. Don't get it. It's awful.
I like the most important thing I think I would say, because most people in the know I think are already onto The Witcher. I think there's a lot of people who are like you, who just didn't enjoy the 3 or 1. And that's their impression of The Witcher.
He means 2.
And that, what did I say? 3. People who didn't enjoy 2 or 1. And they're the people that I think are probably on the fence. Again. Look.
Sorry, you didn't. No, I'm kidding. Carry on. Ooh, you're mad.
No, I'm just derailed. it's me looking.
Wanting
to spit at you. Oh. You got to give it a try. Don't let previous games deter you.
No, certainly not.
Because this really is it is unlike anything else. It is the perfect, it's like Assassin's Creed 2 to Assassin's Creed 1 kind of jump.
Yeah, I would say more so.
It's like that, except twice as long, but it never feels like it drags.
No.
The best way I would describe it is it's like if you read a really good book of short stories. About a character, every side quest feels like a short story.
Yeah, totally. Nothing feels like
full
filler.
Voice acting and narrative and beginning and end, and they're always a little bit different. And what one thing that I loved is that doing Witcher contracts, you'll get multiple of the same kind of monster. Even that doesn't feel limited. Like there's more than one werewolf contract. There's more than one Leshen contract.
Is there more than one Screecher contract? What are they called? The Screecher.
Yeah, to an extent. Oh, the thing is, because the reality is, there's more than one monster in the world.
Yeah.
But the situations will be completely different. Like, in one case, like the two werewolf contracts I've done are completely different from one another. The only thing that's the same is the werewolf, but it's the story that's different, it's not the monster.
It's really interesting.
Whereas if that was another game, you would just have one of every monster.
Yeah.
You'd tick the boxes and that's all you do. Whereas this, it's like, well, no, there's as many monsters as, you know, there needs to be. Mm,
yeah.
It's really driven by narrative and just exploration, and you'd be crazy to not play this bloody game. You would be absolutely mental to not play it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
Before
we go,
yeah,
do you want to talk real quick about this little bonus stage thing we do?
Yeah. Look, it's at this stage, it is the final Wednesday of every month. You know, slight variation here and there. Our next show is the 24th of June, which is a week after E3, and so we're going to be talking a lot about E3. You can get tickets to it. It's a Sydney-based event. If you're in Sydney or you know people in Sydney, I'd love if you could tell them to come along.
Just come down to Sydney if you're not in Sydney.
I mean, the first show we had people drive down like a couple of hours out of town, which was amazing. Yeah. It's a great chance to meet you, dear listeners, as well. And we do, and we will meet you. I mean, we meet basically everyone who comes to the show, because afterwards, you know, and the show itself is stand-up comedy, music, talking about games, reviews,
got
playing
some
games on stage, sketches. But then after that, we come and actually play games with everyone. So we have consoles set up. We had this last show, we had Mortal Kombat 10 on a huge projector screen in the middle of the theater, which was really awesome.
We're gonna aim to get some variation in, like, get some more TVs and stuff in.
Further on we go, and maybe chatting to a few little indie devs, showing off their games as well.
Interesting.
So look, tickets and stuff for that is if you go to bigheadmode.com.au. There's a bonus stage tab. That has all the latest tickets you can buy, all the information on dates and all that stuff.
Come along. It's a good time.
Yeah. Have a good time. Also, while you're on the website, you go there, you check out the podcast, check out our sketches. We've got a bunch of videos. Yeah, but this podcast, it comes in many
forms. Oh, it's on the iTunes,
isn't
it?
You can also get this from iTunes.
Yeah.
Which is the best place, because then you can subscribe, you can drop us a rating. The beauty of us not being on the radio right now, this being a podcast only, we can spend the next half an hour just plugging stuff.
This is I hear that Freddie Prinze Jr. is pretty great.
Okay. That's enough. That's enough. We'll see you guys next time. Like, subscribe.
Or don't.
Well, rate, review.
Yeah.
Will obey.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next time. Yeah, tell us what you think of The Witcher. And find Colour the Boat Captain.
Hashtag Colour the Boat Captain.
We'll think of something good to give you. Maybe first person to do it gets a comp ticket to bonus
stage. Ooh, really good idea.
Yeah.
First person to do it gets a comp ticket to bonus stage. You heard it here first.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Go.
See you guys.
Bye.